All right, guys, we are here for our first Q&A episode for the month of May. We always get some awesome questions here, so I'm really excited to dive in. But before we get to the actual question, if you guys ever want us to dive into a question that you have on the podcast, there's two ways to do that. We always love hearing from people that are on our emails. So subscribe to the newsletter. There'll be a link in the show notes for this podcast. Once you start getting those emails, you can reply anytime, any question, and Jason picks out four that we do every month. So this one actually came in through social media because we get questions on social media as well, but let's dive in. This is a good like throwback. I'm excited to hear this myself. So how did you used to train in the NorCal CrossFit days with the team? So Garrett Fisher, Miranda, and others. And can you share like what does a sample week from back in the day look like?
Yeah, man, I like this question. So this question came up and I was like, oh, it just brought back some good memories, you know, brought back some good like old school CrossFit, you know, back in the day. So for those people who are listening to this who are like newer to CrossFit or don't know too much about the background, CrossFit was originally founded here in Santa Cruz, very close to my where I live in the early 2000s, got on a website and I was introduced to it in 2006. And there used to just be like a workout of the day. And then from there, it just kind of evolved. The CrossFit Games started in 2007. Greg Glassman, along with Dave Castro. The original, the first champion was James Fitzgerald, also known as OPT, Optimum Performance Training. He had a facility out of Arizona, and he won in 2007. And so back in the day, when I was first introduced to CrossFit, like 2006, 2007, I was introduced to it. And I would battle these guys on YouTube. You can still YouTube Jason Kalipa battles a guy named Bionic out of Florida and then OPT out of, I think it was Arizona at the time. Maybe it was actually Canada. Either way, 08, I win the games. 09, we start getting training camps. 2010, we kind of had this group of people that started to revolve around CrossFit. So
I have to cut you off really quick because you've shown me this, but I think you need to explain what YouTube battling people in CrossFit means, because when you explained it to me the first time, it makes a lot of sense, but it's crazy that this is how like people would throw down back in the day.
Dude, back in 2007, the way that we threw down in CrossFit was we battled each other on YouTube. And so I would just send out a battle, be like, hey, this guy, Bionic and OPT in particular, we would battle. And I would film myself doing these workouts. And they were horrendous, dude. They looked terrible. Now that I look back on them all these years later.
Some of these videos are dude, rough.
They're rough. And then those guys would watch him be like, oh, Jason got, you know, 11 minutes. I'm going to try and beat him. And we would just battle back and forth on YouTube because there's really no other way to battle.
Were there any rules about who records the workout first and sets the score to beat? Or did you just like, would you just like pick a workout from main site, film it, throw it up on YouTube and like see those?
Yeah,
guys
we would just pick random workouts and then just talk crap. And because the thing is, and again, looking back on it, there was no judging. The standards were gray, very, very gray. Dude, the one that really speaks to me is like, there was this workout where it was like one round of Cindy plus like a clean and jerk or something like that. And I'm doing air squats to a medicine ball to show depth, but they're just, dude, it's just terrible. We'll have to put that video up. If you watch, check out my Instagram or go look on YouTube, Jason Kalipa versus Bionic, if you want to see some good ones. But dude, back in the day, man, just battling each other. And it created this culture where you want to surround yourself with other people that wanted to kind of level up on the sport. And so 2010, 2011, I'm deep in the sport and, you know, people just started kind of gravitating towards the gym because we would create this like noon group that would just be training hard. So the way that it would normally work for me is I'd wake up early. I would do cardio in the morning, like around 5:36. This was my normal training schedule. I'd say from 2010 until 2016, 15. So for like 5-6 years, this would typically be the way it would be. I'd wake up early. I'd get after some cardio, like long, slow distance cardio. I still like doing that now. I don't like lifting weights in the morning. It just doesn't feel right to me. Then midday would be like a traditional CrossFit session. So we would do about 2 hours. And that would normally go from like 1:30 till 3:30 in between classes. So classes would go from 12 to 1. And then the next class would start at 3:30. And so we would do the middle of that block so we wouldn't interfere with our classes going on at the gym and for those people that coached. And it just kind of started off with a few of us, and then it started growing, growing, growing. Eventually, we had a group of like maybe 15, 20 people that would meet there every day from 1:30 to 3:30. Neil Maddox was there, Pat Barber, a bunch of us. And dude, we would just crush workouts. So the way it would normally look like old school CrossFit programming is volume was the answer. And so we would, I mean, a regular occurrence for us would be to do like Filthy 50 or Fight Gone Bad or whatever as a warm-up. We would do warm-ups that were just like excessive in volume, because I was convinced that stamina, especially leg stamina, became a deciding factor in the CrossFit Games. And so I would do all this stamina building stuff just to get you primed. So like, you know, that old saying, like our warm-up is your workout. That was like what we took to heart for a long time. And a lot of that programming was really just based intuitively on how we felt that day and what the energy was like in the room. So like if we warmed it up and the energy was right, we were playing Drake, some old school rap, whatever, and the energy was right, we'd be going for one rep maxes. If we kind of felt like the energy was a little bit low, maybe it was a hard training session the day before, we would then switch it up and do something different. But the idea was always to make it intuitive so we can get a win for that day, and never put ourselves in a position where we were going to do something that we maybe weren't in the right mindset or physically prepared for that day. And so, yeah, lots of volume, lots of different workouts, but positive vibes is always the number one goal.
Who was coaching you guys in any way? Or was it literally like, you know, class is done 1 p.m. and you're like going to the whiteboard, pulling out of your head whatever comes to mind and just like throwing a plan together that moment?
Yeah, I mean, so for many years, up until we had NorCal CrossFit as a team, and Austin Begiebing, who originally introduced me to CrossFit, would come in and coach. It was me. I'd walk in, I would just brainstorm, think about it, vibe, go up on the whiteboard. I just start writing stuff, and it's just always madness. Like there was no rhyme or reason to anything. And this wasn't like a day or a week or a month. I mean, we're talking for years on end. The only time that would change is leading into regionals. When we knew the regionals workouts, we would do them nonstop, like nonstop. So regionals was the factor before you got to the CrossFit Games. So the way it would work is the season evolved over the years, but for many years it was open, which we knew what type of workouts were going to be there more or less. We'd train a little bit more that way. Then you'd have regionals where you would get the workouts maybe like 2 to 3 weeks in advance. And all we would do is train those particular events to make sure we could dominate the regionals so that we could make it to the CrossFit Games. And then after the CrossFit Games, depending on how you did, you would then get invited to the Team USA. So my training would revolve around what area in the season I was going through. But it would just be very intuitive, man. And I think that that's something that's missing from the sport today. A lot of people have coaches. A lot of people have all these different things, which I think are helpful. But back then, man, it was just about positive vibes, good energy, crushing yourself, probably too much, and listening to your body. Like if we as a group were feeling good that day, let's go for some PRs. If we as a group maybe weren't feeling it as much, let's not put that undue stress on ourselves.
Do you think there's a place for that type of training now to where the sport has gotten, or not really? Like, because I hear you in that there's something to be said about like listening to your body, like going when the iron's hot and pulling back a little bit when clearly it's not. But is that something that a good coach is supposed to help you do better? Or is that something that you think is like you said, missing from the sport now, that maybe people could actually benefit from using a little bit more? Are you just kind of like so far removed from it now that like it's almost impossible to answer?
I'm pretty far removed, but I think one thing that is kind of coming back that you see is you have these camps, right? Whether it's HWPO, mm-hmm. Proven. And what they're trying to do, I think, is create a culture and an energy in the room. Where that gets a little bit difficult now is that everybody's like, dude, they're trying to pay their bills off this stuff. And so I imagine it's a little bit more cutthroat. Now, I haven't been there, so I can't speak from experience. But like back in the day, it was more like, hey, you got a bunch of bros who are all trying to, and there's girls, guys who just want to throw down hard. But like the pressure was not like we all wanted to see each other thrive. Yes, we were going to compete against each other at some point. But like the energy was always about, hey, if you and I could be super dominant together, we're going to go do great things. We're going to help each other. Versus, I wonder if now the culture is like, hey man, this guy could be trying to take my milk money. Like, I don't really want to see him do that well. I'm going to kind of hold back and not give my all because I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how the energy is in these rooms anymore. Back then it was all about leveling each other up. Now, because of the money, the fame and all that kind of stuff, I wonder how it is. I don't know.
Yeah, man. It's always interesting to hear you talk about, you know, what feels like a completely different life. I'm sure it feels that way for you as well, but, cool, man. I mean, I don't have too much to add there aside from it's cool to hear from you what I felt at the time as a fan. I was like an outsider looking in. And it was always so fun. It was so fun to see like the YouTube videos and like NorCal CrossFit was just like exciting to follow because as an outsider looking in, it also looked like you guys were having so much freaking fun. Like it looked like that's where I would love to train. Like those days just looked freaking awesome. And it sounds like they were.
Dude, they were. I mean, bring up another video is the Bring Sally Up back squat video we did. Like that's another one that just comes to mind. Like if you guys YouTube that, Bring Sally Up, and I think it was like NorCal CrossFit, like you'll just see us just like that was the good there. And we would just come up with crazy shit to do. And it was awesome. Like we did the NC Lab. We charged people to come out. We ended up a lot of that was for charity, but in either case, we would charge people to come out and do like these camps with us and we would just wreck people, man. It was so exciting. Dude, these guys from Australia came out one time and I remember they were like really fired up and I sat them down. I was like, hey guys, look, man, like we train a lot of volume. Like if you're not prepared, like dude, just chill, man. Just like take it easy. They're like, no, we want to do everything that you guys do. And I remember I took them to this hill and we started off with like, you know, I don't know, like a 5 mile run. We came back and we were doing hill sprints and then we started doing kettlebell swings. And then that was just like the morning session. And I don't think they ever even came to the afternoon session. It was great. Ah, good times. Too much volume. But yeah, go back and check out those YouTube videos if you guys want a good laugh. If you're a hardcore CrossFitter, go back and check those out. If you're like not that keen on CrossFit or you're whatever.
You should still go back and check it out, honestly. You
still go back and watch some of them. Yeah.
Awesome, man. No, that was a good question. All right. We'll see you guys next time.